to lubricate things.
Well, let's keep it coming, yeah. Now, did you get an Ida Rose book? Okay, all right.
I did.
Well, good. That's a book we put together. I married one of David's daughters.
One of David's daughters.
So I'm also I'm in the family.
Yes.
But I also run this business. Called Legacy Books.
Yes.
And so we're trying to create another book like that for Tracy.
Oh, that was a marvelous book. I've read some of it.
Well, good. Good. I'm sure you're in it once or twice.
Oh, that's all my name.
Okay, good. Well, let's see. Let's start with these pictures. I found a lot of pictures that Tracy took and developed from his childhood, and you're in a few.
Both of us developed our own pictures for a while.
Did you?
Yes.
Now, he worked for a guy named Checkitz.
Yes.
Did you work for Checkitz too?
No.
Okay.
I delivered fruit to Checkerboard Grocery.
Okay, now, if you can tell me anything about some of these pictures, some of them you might be able to help me out with. Most of them will probably be stuff that, you won't have a comment about.
Yes.
But if you have any comments, let's hear them. And they're getting recorded. And so, for example, something like this. Tracy labeled this Wilshire Boulevard, July of 1938. And if you recognize the people or the location, that'd be just fantastic. And if you don't, that's just fine. We'll just move on.
So help me, that looks like the 1940s.
Wilshire Boulevard and his fro. Okay.
Let's see.
Well, it might be the Ogden 18th then.
Well, I wouldn't be positive.
Okay, that's okay.
No, the girl looks like she's Helen Reed.
Helen Reed, okay.
But what she would...
And that's Wilshire Boulevard.
That's Wilshire Boulevard. That looks... That looks like Helen Reed.
Okay.
And who's the guy? Jack Barrett.
Great. Okay. Yeah, I've seen his name elsewhere, so that probably is.
Yeah. He married her.
That you married. Okay.
And both in the Ogden 18th Ward.
Okay. And I'll summarize the picture so that when I go back through this. So that's Wilshire Boulevard with Jack Barrett and Helen Reed, and they got married later on. So, great. Okay, so let's move on to this one now. This is picture 20, and I imagine that's up on top of a hill in one of the canyons outside of Ogden. You have any guesses?
I don't know if Mount Ogden has a flagpole or not. I can't remember.
Okay.
But Tracy and I hiked up to Mount Ogden, and that looks like me there. On the way up to Mount Ogden, the snow would stay there until after school was out, and we would go up there, and we would slide down. I imagine it was maybe 12 to 20 feet wide, and maybe 75 yards long.
Oh, good.
And we could get going at a pretty good speed down there.
So were you just on your trousers?
Yeah, just our regular gear.
Cool.
And we would not slide on our seats. We would slide erect.
Oh, you're laying down.
No.
Well, your feet.
Correct.
Excuse me.
Standing up.
Okay. So that was picture 20 that reminded him of that experience. Picture that's labeled number 12, labeled 12, he says that that's him.
That's not him.
Sorry,
this is...
That's me.
This is Lane. Excuse me. Lane says this is him.
Yeah. Lane says that.
Okay. And these bicycles. Is it just the cruise bicycles?
Well...
Anything spectacular?
Why don't you check it? He had enough money to buy a bicycle. Trying to remember where we got our bicycles from. Anyway, I had an old beat up bicycle, and I liked this bicycle a lot. And so I bought one just like it.
Oh, okay.
And do you know what I mean when I say the brickyard?
Yes. He's told me in some of his stories he's written that he worked in the brickyard. And his dad worked there too for a little while.
Yes.
But go ahead.
And we would go over to the brickyard because there was a lot of open space there. And as I recall, each of the bikes had a stand that would go up like this, and if he were to come at me from the rear, and his tire would hit that stand and knock it down. And so we would play whatever you call it, tag or whatever you call it, and we had lots of fun on our bikes. They were what they called balloon tires in those days. You know, they're racing tires about like that, and then there are balloon tires about like that.
Okay. Cool. So did you participate with Tracy when he tried pumping his tires full of water?
No.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Okay. Picture 23. You recognize the person or the event?
That's his brother Gene.
Okay.
What happened was, the union people went on strike, and I never did carry one of these banners. Jensen, unfair. See? Unfair.
Okay. All right.
And Tracy and Daryl Reeder, and you probably have seen Dale Reeder's name.
Yes. Yes.
A few times. And Daryl, Tracy and Jane and Daryl carried these unfair signs.
That's great. Okay. Cool. Okay. So, this is a car. This is picture 22. Any idea whose car that was?
Does that have a point in front?
It looks like it probably does come to a point.
I'm not acquainted with that car.
All right.
Jack Barrett, you've run across his name a few times too.
Yep.
Jack Barrett bought a car, and we would go to our dance jobs oftentimes in that car. I was saving money for my mission, and Jack Barrett didn't have enough money to buy the car, so I loaned him so that he can buy the car. Have you run across the name of Prentice A.G.?
Yeah.
Prentice A.G.'s grandfather, was it? I think it was his grandfather died and Jack Barrett bought his car.
All right, okay.
Yeah, Tracy got sick and couldn't play in her band anymore.
Do you have an idea about what year that was?
Oh, I could give a guess.
Was it after high school?
It was after high school.
Okay.
It's the year that I took calculus. So that would be 1938 or 1939.
Okay.
But he was really sick. He missed quite a bit of school.
Okay. He's written about that, and I couldn't quite figure it out if it was his first year of college or his second.
Well, I was in calculus, and I took calculus in 1938 and 1939.
Okay.
I'm almost sure it was 1939.
Okay.
It was 1939.
So you guys were the same age? Or the same year in school?
We were the same year in school.
Okay. Right. That's very helpful.
Yes. I remember it was when we took calculus because Tracy did his homework at home. And I would carry his homework to the professor.
Oh, okay. Because he was sick. That's funny. Okay. That's good. Those are good things that will be nice in this book. So, okay. Two Handsome Eligibles. That's the title Tracy gave this picture. Do you recognize the people in that one?
Don Jones and Daryl Reeder.
Don Jones and Daryl Reeder. Okay. Let's go to that next picture then. You recognize that boy?
No.
Okay. All right.
It doesn't look like any of his brothers.
Okay.
And I don't think it's any of my brothers.
All right. These ones are going to be a little harder. In fact, I wish that they were a little bigger. I'll try to. We've got a bunch of boys and girls here, and it says, everybody happy. Ardell Russell's?
Yes.
Party.
Yes, Ardell Russell was a girl in our ward.
Okay. Ogden 18th?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then here's a picture of two guys on a bike, and it says, running after mine and Squirrely's bikes. Oh, running off on mine and Squirrely's bikes again, huh? So who was Squirrely? Do you remember a guy named Squirrely?
No.
I guess two guys were taking their bikes.
No.
Okay. And I'll try to read this next one. It says, Delbert's Playground. Okay, that must be a picture of Delbert. And then this one says, it's a picture of a building where I got kicked out of school in 1934. Do you remember Tracy getting, maybe he's joking, but
at 14 years of age, I'm trying to remember when he moved into Ogden. He moved into Ogden, as I recall, in...
It was about 1933.
Was it?
When he was 14. Well, I think he went back. He was in Marriott from 27 to 33, I think. So... This is this.
Does that look like an Ogden school to you? Or is that a Marriott school?
That looks like Weber High School.
Okay. Okay. All
right. That looks like Weber High School. On about 10th or 1200 Washington Avenue.
Okay. And we're talking about the picture that's titled Just 10 right now. And now, doggone it, I wish I could see these better. I've got a picture that's labeled Pappy's Place again. You remember anything about Pappy's Place? Okay. Let's do,
I might recognize the building.
Very small picture, I'm sorry.
No, I do not recognize that.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, Aaliyah, if it gets to be too much on your voice, I can come back another day.
No problem.
Okay. Just let me know.
No problem. I did have to resign from my temple job.
Oh, yeah?
Because my voice wouldn't hold up good enough.
Oh. Oh, I see. You know, these are too small. We're going to skip these.
I did too much lecturing, I guess, in teaching school.
So what was your specialty?
That's hard to say.
Is it just... Yeah, I know it was science or something in there, but...
I got my degree in chemistry.
Okay.
But I've taught chemistry, physics, mathematics, physical science education, math education, administration for 22 years.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Nobody's had the experience, variety of experiences at BYU that I've had, that I know of.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's good. That's not going to be helpful.
And what did you get your degree in?
I got it in human resource management.
Oh.
And entrepreneurship. I actually have a degree called entrepreneurship, believe it or not.
It's called that.
Yeah. So.
What school?
Utah State.
Uh-huh.
Up in Logan. So.
I didn't think BYU had a major like that.
It might not. In fact, that's where I met Barbara, David's youngest daughter.
Uh-huh.
So we met up there and got married, and now we actually live down here in Springville.
I see.
So,
yeah.
And I grew up out in Manila, Utah.
Manila?
Out by the Fleming Gorge Reservoir, if you know that area at all.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. All right, let's check this out. Okay. Let's look at this. This is a picture of Susan Pugh. Do you know anything about her?
No.
Okay. Do you know anything about this picture?
Nope. I don't recognize the building nor the people.
All right. Okay, that's good. Okay, I guess you'll recognize these two. It's only this one.
Oh, yes. Now, look at this building. That's the 18th Ward. Again. But see these?
Oh, excuse me. Yeah.
See those two posts there?
That's the picture. Okay.
And that's the side of the building that doesn't show here.
Now, Wilshire Boulevard picture is definitely in front of that's Ogden 18th Ward building.
That's definitely Ogden 18th. That says that, Ogden
18th. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Now, this is Ogden High.
That is Ogden High.
Is that an old one or the new one?
That's the old one. Tracy and I...
Oh, I've got... This picture says Lane right here. And Tracy.
So that's the two of you. You're two of the three guys that are standing right there in front of that building.
Up here, very vague.
Yes.
You're just hanging out of the corner.
Yes. I don't know who the third person is. It's too little to tell. But Tracy lived just below a hill. And partway up the hill, there was a road, Madison Avenue, that went up right to the high school.
Okay.
And not all the time, but much of the time, I'd walk up to Tracy's, and we would just walk over to the high school. As I recall, the high school was on 25th Street, and we lived on 30th.
Okay.
And so it wasn't too much of a walk. And in the wintertime, you can't believe how smoky Ogden was. I guess most everybody burned coal then.
Okay.
Oh, my God. It was so dirty. You think you can almost swim in it.
Wow. Cool. Everybody has their stove going, huh?
That's right. Yeah.
Let's see.
And you know, Tracy built a little spinner that he would put in a heater downstairs. And then he would round up some oil from cars, and his spinner would sort of vaporize the oil, and he could set that going. And so I think it was down the basement that he had his stove.
Okay.
He was always very creative.
What other stuff do you remember?
Well, I remember I sold model airplane stuff. And so I sponsored a model airplane contest, and I made what was called Culver airplanes.
Okay.
And Tracy made a Culver, and he won first place. And the reason he won first place was because he put something on that Culver that I had never seen before. If we made our airplanes so that they'd climb, so that they would climb properly, then as they glided down, they'd go like that. It wasn't a nice, even glide.
Okay.
So, model airplanes have a balsa wood propeller with a wire going through the center of the propeller like that. And then attached to this wire, there would be a rubber band. So what you do...
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You wind it up. Now, what he did, he put a little device. Now, here's the fuselage of the airplane. And he put a little wire around there, and it went up to the shaft that goes on to the, the wire that goes on to the shaft that goes to the propeller.
Okay.
And made it so the propeller, instead of going vertical, he made it so the propeller would go like this. And that made it so the airplane would climb properly and it would glide properly.
So what's the term? The propeller's now like tilted like this? Or
let's see now. Yes.
What's the term so I can remember that? It's
the propeller shaft was inclined.
Okay.
As well. Let's see. This way.
Okay. The top part extended farther than below.
Yes.
Okay. For lack of okay.
And he had tested it, of course. And made it so that the glide on that culver was much better and would keep the airplane up higher. And we've had those culvers catch the wind right. They go out of sight. You know, if we were in the right place, where there were the updrafts, those culvers would go out of sight. He also made what was called mosquitoes, but there's no story to go along with the mosquitoes. Mosquitoes were about that long, and the culver was about that long.
Okay. Fun. Cool.
He also made little model airplanes about that big, and we would paint them with what we called dope. And these were as close as we could make them like the originals. And airplanes really were quite popular then. I learned to fly when I was 15 years of age.
Okay.
But he gave one to a girlfriend of his. He was never serious with her, but he had a few dates. We thought she was pretty neat. These were what you call model airplanes. They were modeled after the real thing. And boy, after we painted them, they were beautiful little things. They were made out of balsa wood completely, so you could carve them easily.
So, did you guys buy a kit?
Oh, no.
To put these together?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
So you're doing this from almost scratch?
Oh, yes. Yes. We did this from scratch. We'd look at the pictures. And I had quite a few pictures of airplanes. I was really into it. But we had pictures of airplanes, and we would try to model them after the pictures.
That's really neat.
And the airplanes that flew, I think we had plans for the culver at one time, but I lost the plans, and so we just made the flying airplane according to our memory, and according to the way we had made them before. And this inclined shaft, that was a brilliant idea. It really was. You know, 100% original.
So
I would never have thought of it.
That's cool.
But we did a lot of things together. Let's see.
Do you remember what year it was when he invented when he did that shaft? In any way,
the shaft,
or what, the years you guys were building planes, your whole high school career.
Let's see, my brother went into the army. It was shortly after that. 19. Left his motorcycle at home. And gosh. I would say it was probably the summer of 37.
Cool. Great. Great. That's very helpful.
I'll have to tell you something else.
Okay.
Prentice A.G. lived about a half a block away from him. Maybe he lived a little closer than that. And so Tracy got... He wanted some way of communicating. I don't think they had a telephone.
Okay.
And so, he got a couple of microphones. And where he got the wire, I don't know. But they had a wire set up between Tracy's home and Prince Edgy's home. And these are self-generating microphones. They would generate enough electricity on their own so that they could communicate with their phones between the two places. Also, they could communicate with the Morse code between the two places. And they sent a lot of messages on the Morse code. And with the self-electrical generating earphones, they could communicate. I lived too far away to do that. I lived in the next block. I lived about a block and a half away from Tracy.
So it wasn't like everybody was doing this stuff. You...
Nobody. Nobody. I don't know how he figured out that earphones could generate enough electricity to send the message without having batteries, but he figured it out.
So well, they were hearing each other's voices
through
that microphone.
Yeah, yes. Earphones.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out what kind of microphone it was. I don't remember. Now, there's one other interesting thing about...
I want to hear it. Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
Having our fun together. We decided that this was probably, I can't remember whether it was 36 or 37. We decided that we would build kites. And so we built kites as small as possible that would fly. You know, we used thread for string. And I would guess that the smallest kite we could make that would fly was about 9 inches. And if we made it smaller than that, we...
It just would flop in the wind.
Yes. It wouldn't go up, you know. It was so erratic. And then we decided to build one as large as we could. So we got a few bamboo poles. And let's see how big. That kite must have been, I would say 7 feet.
Deadly.
About 7 feet. And one man could fly the kite if one of us was standing close by. But that kite had so much lift, if a big gust of wind came along, we were lifted up. So one of us had to be standing by, so we would go over and grab him so that the kite wouldn't pick him up.
That's really good. So could you only pull that out when there was plenty of wind? I wonder how you got it off the ground initially.
Well, you run.
Okay.
Yeah, there has to be wind, of course.
What did you use to, you got the bamboo, but what was in between, what provided the stuff that ate, that pushed back against the wind?
The paper?
Whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah. As I recall, we got some butcher paper.
Okay.
And glue.
Oh, that's good.
We had a lot of fun together. Let's see, is there anything? I think those are the major things that. I will say one. When we took trigonometry, senior in high school, 37.
Okay.
It's the last period of the day. And so we would stay after school, and Daryl Reeder was part of our threesome. We were all in the trigonometry class together. And we would stay in the classroom until all three of us had done their assignment. And if one got finished sooner than the other, if the others were having a little difficulty, we would help each other. And all three of us got A's in trigonometry.
Oh, that's good.
That's the way to study.
I learned that in college. Yeah, I agree.
All right. This will just take a very short period of time. When I was studying for my doctorate, three of us decided that we didn't have time to study everything we had to study for the doctoral exam. And so you take this portion, I'll take this portion, and you take that portion. And I only studied, and the three of us only studied one third of the stuff that we expected on the doctoral exam. And we tutored the other two on the portion that we learned. And when I took my exam, there were only three people in the history of the department that had got a higher score than I got on my doctoral exam.
All right. So where did you go to school? Or your doctoral?
You.
Oh, were you there with Tracy? Was it with Tracy?
No.
Oh, okay.
I went on a mission, and Tracy got married instead of going on a mission.
Oh, okay.
And so he was ahead of me. He, as I recall, he already had his PhD when I was studying for my doctorate.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he'd even left for New York.
Okay, all right.
But anyway,
I wonder if it still holds up.
Tracy helped me in some of my chemistry classes. My folks didn't have enough money to send me on a mission either. And they didn't have enough money to send Tracy on his mission. My dad never did tell me he didn't have the money. I just figured that out myself. And so I figured I need to earn enough money so Dad can send me on the mission. So I was not old enough to go on a mission when I graduated from Weber College anyway. But I worked the better part of 2 years to go on my mission. Then I went on my mission, and Tracy didn't have enough money to go to University of Utah. He had to work for a year before he went to the University of Utah to continue his chemistry education.
Okay.
And so he was maybe 3 years. He was probably 3 years ahead of me.
Okay.
But he was smart enough so that he helped me with some of my chemistry.
That's cool. Okay.
Well, those are the most interesting things, other than girlfriends.
Well, that's really good.
He was a little more aggressive with getting girlfriends than I was.
Oh. Well, you must have not been aggressive at all.
Well.
Or was he more aggressive than I think?
He was a little more aggressive than you think.
Okay, I've got a couple pictures. This is you and the guys. You're here.
Yes. Yes, the names are all there.
So you guys were in the ROTC. Was this in high school?
That's high school.
Okay.
That's high school. And this is on Kershaw Avenue.
Okay, this is 18, the ROC picture.
Yeah.
Kershaw Avenue.
That's okay. Right, Kershaw Avenue. And that is the north side of the street.
Okay. Now, let's see, you're also here. And back. This must be at the 18th Ward building.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
And the names are there too.
So who did you marry?
I married Ida Rose's best friend, June Wheeler.
Okay, I remember her name too. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were closest friends.
Okay. That's cool. Okay, we've got that bike picture again. We've already seen that, though. We've already seen these. Let's see.
Boy, some of these pictures are so clear. You'd have thought they were taken yesterday.
Yeah, some of them look pretty good. Okay. Well, I see you're here too in this picture. I don't know.
That's
looks like probably the same thing.
It looks like it was taken at the same time.
Yeah, it's probably the same deal. Let's see. Yep, Kershaw Street, Ogden, Utah, Army ROTC, 1937. Okay, let's see what else we've got here.
played the trumpet. I went in the band one day, and the band director was so ornery. I said, I'm not going to put up with that. And so I went out and joined my buddies in just regular ROTC. And that was a mistake, but I've never seen such an ornery teacher in my life.
Okay. Now, you were even with Tracy. You guys worked together at BYU.
Yes.
Now, who was there first?
I was there first.
Okay, you were there. And he came along in about 1955 or 56. Probably 55.
I came in 53, as I recall. He came 2 years later.
Okay. 55. So was it surprising to you that Tracy went out to New York and solved this problem, invented diamond, when no one else had done it, you know, invented the apparatus to make the diamond? I want to hear your impressions. You know, you grew up with him. And
I knew that he was very creative. And I knew that while he was at the U, he was very interested in diamonds. So his interest in diamonds did not start at GE. It started at the University of Utah.
Great. That's really important. I've been trying to figure that out, so thanks. Keep going, please. Sorry.
I'm not sure what his interest was in diamonds. I don't think it was trying to make synthetic diamonds. But I knew that he was very interested. See, I was on my mission when he was getting his doctorate. And so I wasn't real close to him when he was working on his doctorate at the University of Utah.
That's right.
But I know for sure that he had a very deep interest in diamonds, and for what reason, I don't know. So it was kind of logical to me that when he went to GE, that he would be interested in diamonds. Yes, I was surprised, but not completely surprised. Do you know who Bridgman is?
Yes.
If Bridgman couldn't make diamonds, who could? So I was a little bit surprised, but knowing Tracy's creativity, I wasn't completely surprised. And Tracy was a completely 100% honest person. And he was a 100% responsible person. He would work hard and honestly at anything he did. Of all my friends, Tracy Hall was the best person of them all. And I had some good friends. This Darrell Reeder that I've mentioned, he was just about in the same category. he got his PhD in chemistry too, and worked at Oak Ridge. And he sent a letter to Tracy saying, "I don't think the war is going to last much longer." He knew why, but he couldn't tell anybody why.
That was good.
But you know, Tracy was not the flashy kind. He was not the flashy kind. He was just a good, solid, LDS kind of a guy that did everything right. He was a remarkable person, even in his youth. You know, his parents had very little. And yet, look what happened to him and his brothers.
Yes.
Remarkable. And so, don't know where my next thought was going to go, so.
Well, that's very much appreciated. Did you work together at BYU, and how did you work together?
Okay. His love, his primary love was research. And I came along, and I didn't have anything to do one summer. And I asked him if he had anything there that I could do to make a little extra money. When I came to BYU, my salary was $3,200 a year. And it didn't go up very fast. And so Tracy hired me, I believe at student wages, to do research with him.
Which summer was this, did you say?
Pardon me?
Which summer was this? Do you remember?
Probably the summer of 56, probably.
Okay, all right. So he hired you at student wages.
Just a minute, no. No. The first year I worked at Geneva Steel, the first summer. So it was probably 57.
Okay.
So it was probably 57. And I must have done a fairly good job. Let's see. So it was 22 years before I retired that he hired me to be the assistant director of research. I retired in 85, so subtract 22 years from that.
Well, this was 63.
63.
When you got hired as the
the assistant director of research.
Okay. Great.
Yes. And then, when he left, he took me into the vice president's office and said, "You know, I would like to get back doing research full time. And I'd like to recommend Lane Compton to take my place." And the vice president said, "Okay."
What year was that?
Well, I was actually hired to be the acting director of research, and I was only there for 3 years.
Okay.
And so I was the assistant for 7 years, and I was the acting director of research for 3 years.
So you probably started. started that around 1970, the acting director.
Then they hired Leo Vernon. Have you ever gone across his name?
I feel like I recognize his name. I'm not positive.
Well, Leo Vernon was director of research at some big outfit in Yellow Springs, Ohio. It was a university. It was a, what do you call it, a company or a research organization. And he really had a national reputation. And they hired him to come in, and I was his assistant. Then Leo Vernon became vice president of research. And he asked me, there's another administrative job. He came and asked me if I wanted it, and I said, sure. So I was an administrator for 22 years. And I don't know anybody who's been in administration for 22 years. 10 years, usually, and you're out.
Okay. Great, okay.
Go ahead on your agenda.
Well, you know, let's just keep working through these until we think of more stuff we need to talk about. Nothing here, nothing here. So is your wife gone?
Yes.
When did she pass away?
March 28th last year.
Just last year, huh?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Stroke.
But did you guys keep your friendship throughout all the years, and at least until you were able, or how did that work? Do you have any experiences later on?
Well, actually, when he left the research division, I wouldn't say that we saw each other very much.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as this was concerned, he was still very close to me.
Oh, well, great.
And my wife didn't keep up the relationship with his wife either.
Okay. Okay. Acting their age. Recognize
it. Oh, that must be Tracy on top.
Yes, that's Tracy on top. I don't remember that occasion.
Okay.
Gosh, there's a picture that I have that you would really like to see.
Yeah.
In the dance band.
I've got a few in here of the dance band, so maybe we'll see it.
Maybe we'll see it.
But look, tell me if you recognize it. And then this is the bishop and his cronies.
Grant Lofgren, Jack Barrett, Tracy.
Okay, so the bishop and cronies picture, on the left it starts with
Jack Barrett.
Jack Barrett, Bishop Lofgren, and Tracy.
Okay.
That's good.
Great.
You remember all these?
Well, see, I restated so that I can... So I can remember. I won't remember. That's why I missed.
Oh.
So, no, I would not remember them. So, let's see. Okay. Any ideas? This looks like something's holding up something heavy. It's not a very clear picture.
I wouldn't have any idea
Okay.
what
let's see, you recognize either of the faces in this one or that one?
Really blurry and old.
That's okay if not.
I couldn't say for sure. Yes, that looks like Helen.
All right. Okay. There. This might be a little before your time. This might have been while they were in Marriott. But do you recognize either of those two boys?
No.
Okay.
I do remember something that Tracy told me about Marriott. Mill Creek ran by their place.
Okay.
And they would go out there and catch carp and eat carp. And I'll tell you, you know why they didn't have much money, don't you?
No, I guess not. They were in jobs that didn't pay much? I don't know. Go ahead, let me know.
He was a fireman on the railroad. And he had to work on Sundays. And he was a non-member of the church. And when he got baptized, he decided it isn't right for me to work on Sundays. So he gave up his job. You know, firemen got paid real well.
He gave up
his job on the railroad, and the Depression came along. And so, in Ogden, he would go out and clean people's walks and driveways for 25 cents. He'd also fire up the kilns at the brickyard. Shovel coal into the kilns. They did it the hard way then. And
so he gave up a lot. Follow the gospel.
That's right. He gave up a lot. But look what happened to his kids. Oh, one additional thing. I would oftentimes go up to Tracy Hall's, and we had studied together. And they couldn't afford anything like this. They had a cord coming down with a bare light bulb. And they found out that the people who had lived in that home before they lived there they wired the home so that some of the electricity for the home was not going through the meter. And it just so happened that one of the students in our trig class, Billy Malinowski, was the meter reader. And he came by there to read the meter, and he could see that there were lights on in the home, and the meter wasn't going around.
Oh, no.
And so that was a major financial burden for them at that time. I don't know what they did to them, but I remember so plainly Tracy telling me about Billy Malinowski being the meter reader. Billy Malinowski, I think, was from a rich family. I mean, money-wise.
So was this in Ogden or Barrett?
Ogden.
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 And the family didn't know.
No.
They probably got it fixed.
Well, that's rough. Yes.
I noticed the pictures of the band in here. We'll get to them some other time. Okay. Oh, what is this? Is that one of your Culver's? Or?
No, that's Culver's. Didn't look like that at all.
No.
This looks like a real airplane. All I can say is that that's probably an airplane that either he or I built. I don't know which way it would be.
Okay.
But
that's picture six. Probably a plane that Lane or Tracy built.
Yes.
Okay. Any idea where this is? Remember those?
No.
Okay. You recognize this person?
He looks familiar to me. I can't say. It looks like one of his brothers.
Okay.
But I can't figure out which one.
Okay.
I didn't know all of his brothers. I didn't know all of them well. Okay. Wendell and Teen, I knew.
Okay. Well. Okay, here's a band picture. Maybe this is the band. I'm not even sure. One.
That's her band.
So this is the Hi-Hatters?
That's the Hi-Hatters. The faces are a little hard to...
Yeah, a little too far. So let's see.
Tracy's at the piano.
Okay. What did you play?
Trumpet. People came to one of my performances, the Hilkamore pageant.
Oh, that's cool.
That's when they had live trumpet players.
Okay.
I was in the fourth Hilkamore pageant that was ever held. That's where I was on my mission.
Oh, you served your mission over there. Mm-hmm. All right. What was the mission called at that time?
Eastern States.
Eastern States mission, and you ended up right there.
Oh, cool. All my time was spent in New York and Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. Tracy Hall and Reed Henderson dressed up as girls. All right. That's that one, but let's see what's this one. I don't know who this might be. A Mr. and Mrs. that are going to get married.
No.
I don't know what it might be.
Stevens. I think his name is Stevens, but I can't remember his first name.
Okay. Well, you know, so we're putting this book together for Tracy. You've already said some really nice things about him and some stuff that needs to be in the book, such as he was a totally upright and honest man, worked hard when he was being paid. Is there anything else that this book definitely needs to portray about Tracy?
Said it in a different way, but he was devoted to the church. I've said it a little differently, maybe, but he was just in a different class from most everybody else. This Darrell Reeder that I told you, he's a good, honest, upright guy, too. But I don't know. Tracy was the pianist for our priesthood meetings, and I was the director.
So was this in the 18th ward?
That's the 18th.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Our Sunday school teacher, you have her name down there, Ina Barnes.
Okay.
She would take Tracy and me and a couple other guys to every general conference. And so Tracy and I worked at every general conference over a period of years. At 14 years of age, Ina Barnes' sister was our teacher, and like a lot of 14-year-old classes, she couldn't take it anymore. And so Ina Barnes took over. And Ina Barnes stayed as our teacher until we all went on mission. She graduated with us.
Oh, wow.
But I'm sure that Ina Barnes had a big influence on Tracy and me. Also, Bishop Lofgren, he had a big influence on our lives. And I think if Tracy hasn't told this story, I think it ought to be told. When we were about 16, President McKay came and spoke in our ward. He was in the presidency. He wasn't president. And Ina Barnes got us together, our Sunday school class, boys together, and we sang at that meeting. We sang before President McKay spoke. And when he got up to speak, the first thing he did was turn around and point his finger at the bishop, say, "Bishop, you should make that a permanent chorus." And so the bishop gave us a calling, and said, I'd like you to accept this as if you were accepting a mission call. And that's how the boys' chorus started. He mentions the boys' chorus a number of times, doesn't he?
Yes, yes, yeah, he does.
And in the boys' chorus, he probably has told you, you have it in your records probably someplace, just about every Sunday evening, we were off someplace singing, and then we started putting on the whole program. We would give the prayers, we would give the talks, and it got to the point where those who were willing put the names in a hat, and Nina would pull out a name from the hat and said, our next speaker will be Tracy Hall, or whomever. And that was a very, very strong factor in testimony building. And person after person after person became a bishop. And person after person after person went on a mission. And we had people in our chorus whose parents were totally inactive. I think of one who became a bishop, and some who went on missions, coming from inactive families. And so, President McKay, I doubt if that chorus would have ever been a permanent chorus had it not been for President McKay.
Oh, wow.
And one time we were invited to sing at the noon presentation they used to make in the tabernacle. And while we were there, we were invited in to sing in President McKay's office. You've heard about that.
Yes. Yeah. Keep going.
And there was President McKay and President Clark. Who was in charge of music? Anyway, President Grant invited the rest of the presidency and the person who was in charge of music. And this music man was an old-timer. He'd been around for a long time. And we went and we sang for a couple of the apostles. We did not know it, but we were being interviewed to go on a mission as a whole chorus.
Oh, my goodness. Huh.
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I heard later that the reason we were able to get in to see the first presidency was because they were considering calling us on a mission as a whole chorus.
Oh, that's fun. Oh.
Let's see if there are any other things. One summer, Tracy and Hull didn't have anything to do. And this could have been 1937. My brother joined the Air Force. Somehow, he left his one former He left his one longer Harley Davidson. he knew people who grew beans out in Marriott. And so the two of us would get on that motorcycle and we would go out and we'd pick beans over quite a period of time out there in Marriott. And so I was able to provide the little transportation for him. I guess those are the things that stand out in my memory.
Great.
I've covered school, I've covered church, I've covered work. I've covered fun.
You answered questions I didn't even know I had.
Good. Well, we worked together so much that people would call me Tracy and they'd call him Wayne. It was hard to tell us apart because we were together so much. Tell you, Tracy's dad. Did you ever know him?
No, I didn't. I just read about him.
He was the sweetest. He was the kindest man you could find. His mother sort of ran the show. But he was the sweetest, kindest person you could ever find. And I believe that's one reason the kids are such good kids. The mother, of course, is 100% in the church. But she was a go-getter. And I remember she worked at the Broom Hotel making beds and putting linen on the beds. You notice I didn't say clean linen.
Okay.
What they had her do was to take the sheets off and fold them up and put them in the closet or wherever she put them. And it would sort of even them out.
Yeah.
And then she put these used sheets back on the bed. Of course, she would never have done that on her own. But the Broom Hotel did that. And, you know, Mother and Dad, they just had to pick up a few dollars wherever they could. And they were wonderful parents. They both were just wonderful people. And, I think that's one reason that Tracy was such a great person, because he had such wonderful parents. Not much money. You know, it doesn't take money to be a wonderful parent. And, my dad always had a job. But it was enough to get by on. The woman next door to us is pregnant, and her husband was a heavy drinker. And my mother found out that she was eating nothing but beans when she was pregnant. And so my mother provided food for her so that she could have a better diet and have a healthy child.
Oh.
And that's the way my mother was.
Oh.
I'm telling you, my mother was absolutely marvelous. A neighbor would get sick, and my mother would go stay with them. And she'd stay right there 24 hours a day, you know. She'd leave sometimes for a whole week. And people in those days, they were more dependent upon each other than they are today. But I think of Tracy's parents. She's a very sweet person too. But she's the one who ran things in that home.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, that's cool. Good to know.
Does he have pictures of his parents?
Yes. Yeah, we got pictures of his parents.
Yes.
Just little. Well, they'll get blown up pretty big so that we can use them.
Well, Tracy was able to buy a camera. Seems to me as if it was a box camera.
Okay.
And I had I got a camera at a rather early age too. Now, I don't know if you would like to look at some of my pictures that might include Tracy.
I would, yeah.
Would you?
Yes, certainly.
Okay.
How many children do you have?
Five.
You have five, huh?
Yes.
Now we're going to look at some picture albums, but I will leave this on because inevitably we get some good stuff said.
How tall are you?
I'm only about 5'10".
5'10"? Well, you're taller than I am.
Can I try?
I used to be 5'10 and 3/4".
Yeah.
I'm sure. Maybe you can reach these. Thank you. look at.
Okay.
I have a lot of pictures. 83, 96.
I've got that one. Yep. That's good.
I'll tell you what, if you run into it, I'll leave my card here.
Okay.
If you run into it, just holler at me.
Well, I know I have a bunch of pictures during that era. So do you... So you're president. Do you have anybody working for you?
I have a few kind of contract employees.
Yes.
I don't treat them as employees, but I've got writers and designers that work from their homes.
Sort of subs.
Yes. So. Yeah.
And you put together books.
Yeah. Yeah. We. A lot of times, families hand over their picture albums, and they just say, you know, scan these, and we try to lay them out beautifully, and it's a way to get more copies of the pictures to throughout the whole family, so all the pictures aren't in one spot. And we're on our about fourth or fifth project, and so we're just trying to make it work, you know. So, when
did you graduate from college?
It's probably been 2 years. 2 years probably.
So, you're still at a stage where you'd like to make more money.
Yes. I hope I get over that.
Well, I was poor until I was... I didn't get my doctorate until I was 35.
Okay. So yeah, we're working hard. Barbara does a little bit. We've got one child and expecting another any minute.
Oh.
And so she's our lead designer. She got a degree in graphic arts.
Yes.
And.
Somewhat related.
For the look of the books, we run everything by her, you know, for how the pages look, and we want them to be beautiful, and so, and I do everything else, and get a little bit of help to do everything else, so. But yeah, so. That's good. That's funny.
Not only that, but when I became a director of research, I also became chairman of the Rocky Mountain Science Council. And this is the premier council for the Rocky Mountain area.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sure Tracy could have benefited.
Well, he didn't do that, though.
If he wanted to. But, you know, you get to the point. I did anyway. You get to the point where you feel as if, you know, I just don't have time to be president of this or chairman of this. And so you have to save your time. And I think that's the way it was with Tracy. He could have had more honors. He could have had more offices if he wanted them. But his love was research. He wanted to do research. And you take some of these things, and it just takes your time away from the thing that you really love to do. I got to that point. I was nowhere in Tracy's class, but I got to that point also. It just isn't worth it to be president of this group or chairman of that group or get this honor and that honor. I got the award for being the top science teacher in the state. I got the award for being the top science educator in the state. I'm a fellow of the Utah Academy. I got the award for being the top cooperative education, cooperative educator in the state. You probably don't even know what that is.
I sure don't, but I know it's education.
Well, I was chairman of the Cooperative Education. Pardon me, I was president of the Cooperative Education Association of the state of Utah. And they gave me the award. Internships for which students earn credit. You know, it got to the point where I did not want to be nominated to anything.
Just get out of the way, huh?
I just wanted to get out of the way and to get my work done at BYU, you know. But Tracy, you might say, was a model for me to follow. He did so many great things and was such a good and great person that he really was in many ways a model for me to follow. And I give him credit for a lot of my accomplishments, which, if you look at the awards and stuff, I got quite a few. But I give Tracy credit for making it possible for me to get these awards and offices. So you can see. see a full of him. Yeah. Well, I thought that would be an interesting sidelight. Another sidelight. I retained the secretary that he had, and when she retired, she specifically mentioned Tracy as a great boss. You know, he wasn't just a scientist, he was a great person. I understand he does not recognize his own family when they go to see him.
Yeah, I think they wouldn't be surprised if he went any day. So he's got 24-hour care.
Well, we've had people with Alzheimer's and heart ward who finally they died as a result of it. It might have been something else, but it was a result of Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the family is said, you know, we're ready when he is ready. So when it's time, we're going to let him go. So.
Well, you know, I think my family still needs me.
Well, you are... And you remember incredible things from me today, and so
I'm surprised I remembered as much as I did.
See, it always happens. I come into someone's home and show them a few pictures, and then they start remembering all these things. It just really helps to bring it out, you know. And you've given me some great stuff.
So. Well, if it weren't for the fact that my family needs me, I'd rather be on the other side with my wife.
Yeah, you've got a few things pulling at you there. Yeah. So.
Well, one son, he was a general contractor, and just about all of these loaners, you know, are just in business for themselves. Just about all of them have gone out of business.
Oh, man.
They're just not building anymore.
Yeah, it's tough.
My son-in-law, he was a general contractor, but he went into development, and he was buying 19 lots and 5 homes, and he might be coming to live with us. He just sold one lot for $40,000 less than he owed the bank on that lot.
Is he from right around here?
He was born and raised in, well, I think he was born and raised in Poland. Yeah, he got his master's degree in land and real estate development.
That is rough.
Finance. And,
so you're going to have a household. You're going to have a few people here, huh?
Well, these two would move out if, if he and his family moved in.
Okay.
I had 2 granddaughters who wanted to come and live with me. Plus, my grandson and his wife, who are living here, I had to tell my 2 granddaughters, no, we're just full. But I've had at least 10 people, 10 BYU students, come and live here. Some of them relatives, but some of them weren't. Some of them were just students who ran out of money. no other alternative. So, you know, they're friends of my kids. And so, we've had at least 10 come and live with us.
Wow. And well, that's good.
In all but two cases, you know, we furnished the meals, too. But, you know, I don't regret having any of them, because the need was there, and I was able to provide what they needed.
Well, that is good.
Tracy's been a bishop, too. I was a bishop before he was.
All right.
So I followed in my footsteps a little bit.
All right.
But, I'll tell you, Tracy was a giant of a man in more ways than one. And yet, you know, neither Tracy nor I socially were anything at all in high school or college. We were just non-entities as far as social life was concerned.
What are you saying, huh?
My guess is that if you were to ask people that we went to school with, if they thought it would ever amount to anything, my guess is they'd say, who are they? They weren't anything. But you know, I found that's true. I taught high school for a number of years, too. And some people who I had pegged as not probably achieving much, they only become a dentist. Or they are successful in some other way. And some people who I had pegged, I was in charge of the teacher education program for math and physical science at BYU. Here's a traveling salesman who decides he wants to be a teacher. Beautiful personality. Speaks beautifully. Outgoing, friendly. After doing the student teaching, he said, no. And you know, when the kids would give him a bad time, he would get angry. And when he would get angry, then the kids were all the more unable to cooperate. And so, first impressions, second impressions, sometimes more than that, are not right. It's what happens in the long run. And that's the way it is with Tracy. Rather unimpressive in some ways. But in the long run, the good things in his personality and so on, they shine brightly.
I don't feel like I'm giving you an interview anymore. I think I feel like I'm learning life lessons. great.
Well,
good gospel. I'll tell you.
You study Tracy thoroughly, and you can learn a lot about life's lesson. Because he, as I said before, he was a giant in more ways than one. And it isn't necessarily the person who is good at speaking, who is friendly. It isn't necessarily the person who impresses you early with their personality. It's the person who impresses you after a long period of time. And I think just about everybody who knew Tracy over a long period of time will say the same thing about Tracy.
Okay.
Yeah?
See, that brings me to a question. Do you have any other buddies or friends or people that worked with Tracy closely, that know him pretty well, that you recommend I go try to run down? Or go see?
Well, I wouldn't know whether to recommend Bill Pope or not.
Sure. Okay. Gotcha.
You know all about Bill Pope.
Yeah.
He probably knew Tracy about as well as anybody.
Okay.
But I'm not sure what Bill Pope would say because of their legal differences.
Okay.
However, I think he was on very good terms with the other person who worked with him and who worked on the, what do you call it, Megadamit.
Yeah. I'll go run that name down.
I don't know where he lives, but I can't think of his name. I think he might be able to tell you some things. Now, he worked with Tracy at BYU. There are three of them who worked together at BYU. And the three of them started Megadamit. And I can't think of his name.
Okay. Sure, if I heard it, I'd recognize it, but I'll go look that up.
If you'd want me to show you where he lives, I could show you where he lives.
Sure, that'd be fine.
Okay.
Is he here in Provo?
Oh, he only lives about two blocks away.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do that.
Let's leave.